And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And good evening. And of course, I'm not Kevin Tachi. I'm Christine James, but I'm sitting here in studio with Kevin Tachi and Charles Mathewson as well from WATD because this is a political forum. I'm Christine James, your moderator, and we have a double header tonight here. First up, we've got the race for the 5th Plymouth District. That's Norwell, Rockland, and Hanover. We have the incumbent Democrat Rhonda Nyman and her challenger Republican Dave DeCoste in studio right now. Thanks for joining us tonight. And next up, we've got the 10th Plymouth District. That's an open seat vying for that, Republican John Cruz and Democrat Michelle Dubois. Now, if you're not sure what the 10th Plymouth District is, I'm going to tell you. 10th Plymouth is Brockton Ward 4, Precincts B and C, Ward 5, Precincts B, C, and D, all of Ward 6. It's also East Bridgewater, just Precinct 1, and all of West Bridgewater. We have asked the candidates, as always, because we always use the same format, to prepare opening and closing statements, no longer than about 2 minutes. In between, we ask a round of questions, including a lightning round, where answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences. The reporter does specify what kind of an answer they're looking for. And if we have time, which we try to do, we give the candidates a chance to ask each other a question. Try to keep your answers to a minute. Unless I give you more time, we determined opening and closing order out of the official WATD newsroom koozie a little bit earlier. Rhonda, was it Dave, you're first? Was that the order?
Yes,
and then Rhonda, and then we reversed that at the end for closing statements. And we've got Jeffrey Morrissey here, our official WATD timekeeper, with his magic green, red, and yellow big cards, which are really file folders that let folks know where we are. All right, now let's get started tonight, and let's begin with Dave DeCoste with your opening statement for our listeners. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. First of all, Charles, Christine, Kevin, thank you and the management of WATD for sponsoring the forum. Tonight I'm asking you, the voters of the 5th Plymouth District, for the opportunity to be your representative. By way of background, I was born and raised in the South Shore and attended a local school system from kindergarten through high school graduation in 1981, and my family has occupied the same home for over four decades in Norwell. I'm familiar with our district. I appreciate its history and am committed to its well-being. My education includes undergraduate degrees in accounting and finance from Northeastern University, along with a graduate degree in financial economics from Boston University. Currently, I teach finance and risk management at Boston University and have a strong financial grounding to understand and act on the challenges the Commonwealth faces. As both an enlisted man and officer, I served in the military for 29 years and understand the challenges faced by our veterans, young and old. I currently own and operate several real estate trusts and am involved in the management of several others. I am the only candidate in this race who has owned and run a business. As a member of the National Federation of Independent Businessmen, I will work to promote and protect the right of everyone in business to own, operate, and grow their businesses with a minimum of interference from state government. I entered the race for representative because I am committed to Massachusetts. I am concerned with what I see as fiscal and operational mismanagement. We are in a time of increasingly limited resources and a tough economy that is stressing both younger families and seniors. If elected, I will stand with those individuals who are paying taxes, working hard, and who expect to live in a state where those values are rewarded. My general philosophy is that local government generally does things best because it is close to the people. State and federal governments need the honest representation of the population to fill a useful role for us all. If I am elected, my focus will be to mitigate the damage done by 40B regulations by reforming law to allow community modifications. I will reduce income and sales taxes, stop the automatic annual increase in gas taxes. I hope to aggressively identify and recruit talent into the government where talents can help find fiscally responsible solutions to our problems. And I see you telling me to finish up quickly, so I will just say, Christine, that I would encourage everyone, if they're looking for this type of candidate, if this is the type of person you want in office, visit Citizens for DeCoste, and I hope for your vote on Tuesday, November 4th.
Thank you very much. That was Dave DeCoste, the Republican for the 5th Plymouth District, now the incumbent Democrat, Rhonda Nyman. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you, Christine. And thank you to WATD and our panelists here tonight for hosting this political forum. I'd also like to say thank you to David for his participation. My name is Rhonda Nyman, As many of you may know, I am the state representative for the 5th Plymouth District, representing the towns of Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland. I'm a single mother with two beautiful daughters, Christy and Kara. And like you, many concerns each day are how to pay the daily bills, how to pay for college, and how to give my children the best possible opportunities in life. I have lived my entire life in the district. I was born and raised in Rockland, the only girl with three brothers. My father, the oldest of nine children, a World War II Army veteran, and a business owner of an engineering company in Hanover, where my mother worked as the bookkeeper. After getting married, my husband Bobby and I bought a home in Hanover, where we chose to raise our own family and where I still live. Before being elected as your state representative in 2010, I worked 23 years at my family's small business, understanding and navigating the hardships of a small business while meeting payroll each week for 15 employees. When my husband Bobby passed away in 2010, many in the community urged me to run for the seat he had elected him to for over 11 years. I didn't set out in life to be a politician, but working alongside Bobby for so many years, I did become passionate about public service, and I saw firsthand the personal reward one gets from helping others. So I decided to enter politics to continue on with his long legacy of advocating for the people he served. I have focused my first two terms on being available, accessible, and responsive to every problem my constituents might have, no matter how big or how small. I get up every morning more driven than ever to do the best possible job and to make a positive impact on people's lives. I cherish the opportunity you have given me to do this for the past 4 years, and I look forward to going to work for you every day for the next 2 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the incumbent Democrat, and that is Rhonda Nyman. Going to start the questions tonight with WATD's Kevin Tonchi. Kevin.
First questions for, we'll go with Dave. Your website, Dave, says that you are pledging to vote against any new tax increases. What action would you take if an amendment that you authored or supported is somehow bundled with a tax hike?
You know, Senator Hedlund has taken a similar type proposal regarding unfunded mandates, and he took the principled approach and he votes against it, and I would as well.
Okay.
You know, I would vote against something that I supported if it contained a tax increase.
Okay, you're all set. Okay. A representative, there was a vote taken during this legislative session for a $600 million transportation bill that also included a tech tax, a tobacco tax, and an automatic gas tax. What was your vote, and were you aware of these taxes contained in this bill?
Yes, I did, Kevin. I did support the transportation bill you're talking about, right?
Yes.
With the gas tax, the tech tax. I was proud to the 3 cent on the increase on the gas tax. I was happy to support that. I do want to make mention that there was an amendment filed in regards to that bill, and it wasn't it's not a perfect bill, but the most of the bill was great to support the indexing to the inflation for the CPI for the gas tax. I'm on record as not supporting that indexing for the inflation on that. The tech tax was in part of that, and I think we knew after realizing that we passed the bill that we looked back and there was an error made, and we repealed the tech tax on the bill. So,
okay, Charlie Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
Rockland in the district is part of the Southfield development on the former South Weymouth Air Base. A water fight is developing among Southfield, which needs water, Brockton, which needs water, and Silver Lake towns, which don't want to give away any more water. How will you deal with Tom Coulter, who represents Kingston, Halifax, and Plimpton, on this issue? Rhonda?
Halifax. So the water issue is at the Southfield Naval Air Base, correct?
Yes.
So that's a tri-town development, which
right.
includes Rockland, Abington, and Weymouth.
Right.
So I'm not really sure how Halifax and Kingston comes into play with that. Is that just because it's a regionalization of the MWRA, or
they want Kingston's water? They want the water from Silver Lake, Tri-Town. And Tom Coulter is a big protector of the Silver Lake watershed, so he's not going to let that go down very easily.
Okay.
And Brockton needs water if the proposed power plant goes in. Okay. So everyone wants water, and they're all looking at Silver Lake, and Silver Lake is saying, uh-uh. So Tom Calder is going to say, uh-uh.
Okay. So how would I deal with Representative Calder? Is that part of the question?
Yes.
Certainly, I think we've dealt on a lot of issues down here on the South Shore, so I think we could probably come to a common ground on that and certainly work out what is best for all the districts concerned.
Okay, Dave?
Well, that's interesting because, that's coming up, that has come up in my travels through Rockland a little bit. Not the water issue as much. I know for sure the people in Rockland do not want that road into their community from Southfields. That's pretty straightforward. The water issue came up, and I have to say that the Representative Calder would probably be in doing his job representing his constituents in protecting that water. And that if in fact... there are developments at Southfields that are going to stress the water table, and we have this problem within the town of Norwell as well. They're going to stress the water table, and they may have to relook what they're doing in Southfields.
Any follow-ups to that?
No. Okay.
Here's a question for both of you, and let's start with Dave DeCoste. What needs to be done to assure that veterans in the district and around the state are never denied benefits or bypassed to assist illegal aliens? Let's start with you, Dave.
Well, it's interesting. That has come up in a number of cases, and there have been a great number of mailings. Let me say that there's a very simple fix to this, and the fix was actually in last year's reconciliation bills in both the House and Senate versions, and it disappeared. And the fix is to simply adopt the federal standards which stipulate that Social Security numbers must be provided by individuals who are seeking housing. It's really as simple as that, and this is where, it has become quite apparent that the priority of the leadership in the House is not one of those issues. Is not that issue, because if it were that issue, it wouldn't have disappeared in the reconciliation bill, and it would be law. Which, by the way, I hasten to point out that this is Obama's position as well, because Obama, the Obama administration. And the federal law stipulates that this has to be taken.
Okay, thank you. That was Dave DeCoste. Same question, Rhonda Diamond. What needs to be done to assure that veterans in the district and around the state are never denied benefits or bypassed to assist illegal aliens?
Well, first of all, veterans already have prioritized housing over anybody in the state. And so I don't know if that's the question you're referring to. Is it just public housing or just in general?
All benefits, veterans benefits.
Veterans benefits. And I'm happy to say, since I've been in office, since I was supported the Valor Act and the Valor Act II. And we didn't become first in the nation by providing veterans benefits without supporting our veterans. And the whole idea of this illegal immigration over veterans is absurd. It's outright lies. And there are quite a few mailings that are going around about the district and targeting all 20 Democrats. So certainly that's just something that's just outright lies on their part.
Okay. Let me just follow up, Dave. Do you know the mailings that she's talking about? Have you seen these mailings?
I'm familiar with some of the mailings. They're going every door direct to the three districts.
And in a nutshell, what are they saying about veterans?
Well,
benefits?
They talk about a lot of things, and you can quibble as to the general accuracy of some of the points. I think you can quibble less as to others, but they're generally pointing to the fact that in this state there is no stipulation for Social Security numbers, so legal immigrants are still allowed into housing.
Okay, let me ask you. So is that accurate, Rhonda Nyman? Illegal immigrants, are they allowed into housing?
I think the confusion comes in, correct me if I'm wrong, but so we have two situations here. Let's refer back to when we were debating the Valor Act for our veterans. Mm-hmm. There was an amendment posed by the Republican Party to support public housing for illegal immigrants. The chair...
You mean for veterans?
To support public housing for illegal immigrants when we were debating the Valor Act. And the chair in the House said that it was ruled out of order. It was beyond the scope of the bill. So we took a vote in regards to that so that it was beyond the scope of the bill. You would never take up the Valor Act and illegal immigrant housing, public housing for that. So they're taking that and using that and saying that we're not supporting our veterans. Like I said, we wouldn't be the first in the nation today if we didn't support our veterans with the Valor Act, and again with the Valor Act, too, since I've been in office.
I'm just going to jump here again, Dave. You're shaking your head.
With all due respect, I guess this is something maybe you could research, but my understanding of that vote was that it had to do with veterans housing, and we would simply require, and veterans housing, and we could talk about the clerk ruling on scope, rulings on scope within the general court are generally the speaker's trick to avoid taking a vote on things. What that bill would have done would simply stipulate that we adopt the federal policy of insisting that Social Security numbers be provided for public housing. And if I could have one more, the ability of illegal immigrants to get state housing is I don't think is in question. All they need to do is say if they stipulate that they're homeless, they go to the top of the line.
Is that accurate, Rhonda?
So veterans already produce a Social Security number, so they already receive, they already have priority housing.
Is it true that illegal immigrants go to the head of the line? Is that accurate? Is that what you were saying, Dave?
If they say they're homeless, my understanding is, yes, they go to the top of the line.
It's not something I'm aware of.
And, okay. Of course, what we're not talking about, of course veterans can produce a... You can't get into the military without a Social Security number, so of course, we know that. Otherwise, it would be a fraudulent enlistment.
Okay, let me just ask you one more question. Do you think, Rhonda, I think this will probably clear up the general question here. Do you think people should have to produce a Social Security number do you think people should have to produce a Social Security number to get housing in Massachusetts?
Sure.
Okay, all right. So let's move on to another topic then. Kevin Tachi.
We'll start with Rhonda. What's your thought and concern on the Southfield development and its impact on your part of the district?
Well, I'll state as I did from the beginning, certainly I didn't spend as much time as other people have as I canvassed the district, setting up meetings and talking to people long before this legislation was in place, that they certainly have a better understanding of it than I do. And from what I heard from the people and what I stand on record stating is whatever the town officials wanted for Southfield was something that I would support. And so whatever the, I have had numerous conversations with our Board of Selectmen and the developers. We've had conversations. And so whatever they decided to, and I think they came up with a pretty decent plan going forward that they'll be satisfied with.
Dave, same question.
I empathize with Representative Nyman because it is a very difficult plan to understand. Mm-hmm. And I know that the Tri-Town Consortium has many disagreements still in terms of, you mentioned the water. Since the last debate, I've studied a bit, and it becomes more confusing every time you take a look at it. But the bottom line is that I would probably parallel Representative Nyman's. It's certainly a big issue in Rockland, a little bit less so in Norwell and Hanover. But we need to figure out and support whatever Rockland town officials feel will be the most adequate solution to that problem. I would also mention, if I can, I mentioned it before, it is somewhat befuddling when you go up to Ayer, Shirley, and Townsend, that area up in the center of the state. The Fort Devens development, from when it was closed in 1996, has been thoroughly revamped, and it is befuddling why it is such a problem down here, because up at Devens, it is not, and they are doing great things up there.
Okay.
I would ask a follow-up. What are you hearing from voters in Rockland in regards to any impact that their community might feel from this development?
Well, the water issue came up before, as did the road. I know one thing. They do not want that road, especially the people in and around it, and it makes sense. I should add again with the Devens solution. Fort Devens basically raised all their housing. So on Fort Devens proper, you will find it is primarily an industrial, a commercial entity. There's very little. They kept some housing from the military base, but there was no attempt to expand the number of housing. It was strictly used to foster commercial industrial development.
Let me do a quick follow-up with that. When you talk about the size of it, how many acres is Fort Devens? Is it the four, roughly 1,400?
Well, keep in mind the South Ranges were retained by the military, so I'm talking about the areas north of Route 2. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm only familiar with it because I was stationed there, and I do get up there, and I'm in my capacity as a military officer while I was stationed in Boston. But I can tell you when you go through there, there are scores of new companies. They have a rail spur.
But size-wise, is it the size of Southfield, which is 1,400 acres, isn't it?
Yeah, it is probably a bit larger, but not much larger.
Okay, I just want to see if they were comparable.
Is it more rural than it is thickly settled here?
I would say it's a little bit more rural, but you know what? It has Route 2 running through it. It has the convergence of Route 111 and Route 110.
So I will let Representative follow. Sure. If you, what do you hear from Rockland voters in regard to their concerns about the impact of this development on their community?
I think they realized, they've come a long way. I think they realized that something needed to be done over there. I know they had a water and sewer issue that they, hopefully they have come to grips on over there, that, certainly we couldn't get any building or commercial building or anything like that over there. That was probably the problem going forward, trying to get something to go forward for that. And I think they've come around, and certainly I know there's still some few things that they need to work out over there, but certainly I think they've changed some zoning laws and things like that they're happy with, and hopefully that project will move along, and we'll see some good things happen.
Okay. Charles Matthews, and questions for the candidates.
This district, Plymouth 5, it lies entirely in Plymouth County, and the county filed 6 bills in the last session, 2 passed. The state will pay the full cost of renting the 3 courthouses still owned by the county, and a bill that freed the county from the $6 million of retirement funds. There are still 4 pieces of legislation that the county intends to refile in the next session that one of you will decide on. They would create a rainy day account, increase the deeds excise tax, and create bonds to cover unfunded liability. Will you support those bills? Start with Rhonda, because you're probably familiar with the initial filing.
I am a little bit, thank you. Do I support Plymouth County? Yes. The rainy day, yes. I know this is running the finances of a small business as well. It's always wise to prepare for the unknown, so it's great to have that. The excise fee, the allotment increase, yes, I do support that. I think that's great. With a little assistance from the state and the county is trying to maintain its operation, that's a viable asset. And on the bonding issue, I'm still a little bit out on that. I'm not sure. I think we need some more information to take a look at that. Let's not rush into it with the way the market is overseas at this time. So,
okay, Dave, would you support the Plymouth County legislation?
Well, the excise tax, I would have to learn more about and just discover to what extent the tax is covering the operations that it supports. As regards funding,
I can let you know that the Romney administration raised fees so that they didn't have to raise taxes,
right.
And part of that was to keep all but 10% of the deeds excise tax that the registries of deeds generate, and Plymouth and other counties want to raise that to 42%. Why 42? I haven't been able to explain, but from 10 to 42. So that's what it's about.
My inclination would be, to look at that closely. My inclination, again, would be to go back and any time we can push the tax revenue down, I support it. I hope we get a chance to talk about local aid, but whether it be down to the county level or especially the local level, I support that. Can I talk a little bit about funding retirement by bonding? That is a gimmick. That is a bad, and this is if you talk to anybody familiar with. In fact, my side, I rely on 2 people primarily. A Democrat, Alicia Manel, who's a PhD. She runs the retirement studies department at BC. Dr. Kotlikoff runs the BU economics department. They are recognized experts in this type of thing. Both of them will attest to the fact that this is always a bad idea. It's a little bit like mortgaging your house so you can put it in your IRA. Not a wise thing to do.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Kevin,
Tachi? We'll go with Rhonda. If you were to give yourself a letter grade, A, B, C, for your voting record during your term, tell us what that grade would be and explain why you deserve such a grade.
Okay, well, I'll begin by saying at first I have a 100% voting record, and I'm proud of that. I feel that I have a... So I guess I'd have to grade myself. I would have to probably say an A in regards to that. Yep.
Okay.
You don't think I deserve one?
No. Some people are higher graded than others. It's not not saying that you deserve it or not. Just
as far as regarding my voting
record.
Yep, I have 100%. I think I've maintained that voting record since I've been elected to office. So I would have to say I'd give myself an A.
Okay. Dave, you've suggested that the current formula for state educational funding is out of date and needs updating. What changes need to be made to make the formula so that funding is fairly distributed to communities around the Commonwealth?
Well, we need to, the funding should be addressed such that the suburbs, basically the Patrick administration's policy since he was elected, has been to move funding from the suburbs into the cities. They're starving the contributor areas, that is, those areas of the state that contribute taxes. And they're funding, in fact, the cities. And it is one of the reasons that, for instance, in my town, over the last 3 years, property taxes have increased 28%, and they are now yet hitting at another override. We have to take a close look at we are not in the business of funding ineptly run cities, and we need to take a closer look at state aid, increasing local aid, increasing the budget line item. And if you want some examples of where we could do that, well, you know, we funded to $1 billion for a convention center in an era where, and I see the red tag there, so I have to stop talking, but the convention center was funded at $1 billion that should have been was sent down to the local cities and towns for local aid.
Okay. Charlie?
Let's talk about question two, which would expand the bottle bill to include all non-carbonated, non-alcoholic containers. First of all, how would each of you vote, Dave?
No, I'm not supporting that.
Rhonda?
I'm a supporter of the bottle bill. Yes, I am. It reduces litter, and 80% of all redeemable bottles are currently recycled, and 23% of all redeemable bottles are currently recycled. So I think it's a great bill.
And
big question.
Dave, why do you oppose it?
Well, I oppose it for two reasons. Number one, Norwell, Rockland, Hanover already recycle in some form or fashion, all three communities. So the need isn't there. Secondly, the more difficult we make it to purchase things on our northern tier, we give people excuse after excuse to go to New Hampshire. And it's not and purchase things. And when they do, we lose sales tax in this state. We lose revenue in this state. We lose business in this state. And if you talk to anybody who's in business in Merrimack Valley and up in the northern Worcester County, they will tell you that. So it gives, and the gas tax would be, that is one of the reasons, by the way, I also support the repeal of the gas tax, the indexing to inflation, because we force people into New Hampshire, and we actually, nobody's ever done, you know, the analysis of this is always as though they always do a static analysis. And you shouldn't do a static analysis. You need to do a dynamic analysis and assume that people will make logical, rational conclusions as to purchasing when things become more expensive.
Hey, a follow-up for both of you that I've asked just about every candidate. The people who run redemption centers, not in New Hampshire, but in Massachusetts and in your district, tell me that this is a profit center for them, that it's a way for small businesses to make money. Do you want to switch those profits from a small business to a large carrier?
Let's do this. Let's hold that thought, give you a little bit of time to think about that. We're going to go to a break right now and just remind folks you're listening to 95.9 FM Marshfield, and this is a forum for the 5th Plymouth District, which is Rockland, Hanover, and Norwell. We've got Rhonda Nyman in here. She's a Democrat. She's the incumbent and her challenger, and that is Dave DeCoste, a Republican also running for the seat. We'll be back right after this.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD. Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And that's right, we are back with Monday Night Talk. Kevin Tachi's your host. However, I'm Christine James moderating this forum tonight. It's for the 5th Plymouth District, Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland. We have both candidates in here, Rhonda Nyman, the incumbent, and her challenger, David DeCoste. Now, right before we went to commercial, Charlie Mathewson, you asked the candidates a question. Would you repeat that question?
Yes, regarding question two, expanding the bottle bill, the standard answers that we find from Democrats is it's good because it encourages recycling, and from Republicans, it's bad because it's a hidden tax and it's not good for business, and towns recycle anyway. And I tried to get a different twist on that by saying, is it not a question of big business versus small business? Because the small mom and pop stores that recycle and get that 2.5 cents hire people, and expanding the bottle bill to include water, non-carbonated beverages would increase that profit center for them. Rhonda, what do you think?
Well, it's true. It encourages recycling, you know, and it also creates jobs as well, too. And under the new law, the unclaimed deposits, if you do not return the bottles, the money's going to go, before it went directly into the general fund.
Right.
Now it's going to go into a fund, especially for like green issues and, you know, such as waste management and air quality protection. So I don't really think it's a difference between big business, small business, and certainly I would support the bill.
Dave?
No, I disagree with the premise. I think all this does is make it more complicated for small businesses, stores. I've spoken to a lot of them. I haven't met a single small store owner who supports this. And again, I think it drives business out of the state.
Okay.
Okay. Any other follow-up question? Let's go to lightning round. It is 7 o'clock here, 95.9 FM. That's who we are right here in Marshfield, WATD. You're listening to a political forum. Going to go to the lightning round. The answers are either yes or no, not yes or no with an explanation, and or two sentences tops. The reporter will decide what kind of an answer they would like to hear. And that means we start with Kevin Tachi. Lightning round question.
Would you be in favor of a permanent meals tax free week for restaurants? Yes or no?
Start with Dave.
Yes.
Rhonda.
No, I think business restaurants can do better on their own.
Okay, just no.
Just yes, or no.
Yes or no. Charlie Mathewson.
Okay, the sometimes troublesome question. What committee assignment would you like to have in the next session, Dave?
Is this
two sentences?
All right. Well, we'll wait to get elected, I guess. But in a perfect world, certainly ways and means, and perhaps financial services.
Okay, Rhonda.
Well, I'm proud to say I do sit on the Ways and Means Committee, and it's one of the most important committees in the legislature. You know, and it provides opportunity to go around the state to hear from the people and the taxpayers.
Okay.
And you're not a freshman.
Okay, there you go. Plymouth County government, keep it or abolish it? Two sentences. Let's start with Rhonda Nyman. Keep it or abolish it?
Certainly keep it.
Okay. Dave DeCoste, keep it. Okay. Kevin Tachi, lightning round question.
Okay. List your top three priorities if elected or reelected to office. Rhonda?
Certainly, as they always have been, my priorities have been seniors in my district, veterans, and public substance abuse issues.
Dave.
Mitigating 40B, working to professionalize the government and reducing taxes.
Okay, Charlie.
Rhonda, do we have too many people in jail?
Is that a yes or no or three, two sentences?
Yeah, yes or no or a sentence.
It seems like the jails are overcrowded.
Okay.
Dave?
Well, you know, 6 months ago, I would have said no. And to the extent that we have violent offenders in jail, I will still say no. But there's something to be said for dealing with nonviolent drug offenders.
Okay, that was it. Okay. Now, do you think the district that you're running for is more conservative, more liberal, or a little of both? Dave?
Well, I can answer that easily.
Okay.
In the Brown-Warren race, Senator Brown got respectively Hanover, Norwell, Rockland, 67, 66, and 57% of the vote.
Okay. Rhonda, what do you think about the district?
Oh, certainly. I'm number two for the most conservative district across the Commonwealth.
Okay. Kevin.
I was hoping to ask this after his jail one, but if elected or reelected, would you ever support efforts to reintroduce the death penalty for limited cases? Yes or no?
Rhonda,
yes.
I would have to put some more research into it.
Okay, Dave.
Yes.
Okay, Kevin, last lightning round question. Sorry, Charlie.
I'm Charles.
That's
Charles.
Yes.
Okay. That's Rhonda and Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just to take a completely different take on this, when the campaign is over, what movie do you most want to catch up on Netflix or the web? Dave?
Movie.
What the heck is that?
You know, the moving pictures?
Yes.
Motion pictures, yeah.
You know, I have never.
Just give us the name of a movie.
Yeah, I've never watched in its entirety Saving Private Ryan, so
okay.
I'll probably do that. How's that?
All right.
That's a great movie, by the way.
Okay.
Final question.
Okay.
Lightning for me. Elected official, past or present, that you look to as a role model, Dave?
Local or state or
anywhere? Doesn't matter.
President Reagan.
Okay. Rhonda, same question.
It could be France or Germany, you know.
You didn't say local, right?
It's Charles. Yeah. Your choice could be local, national.
Who I look to for...
a role model.
As a role model?
Elected, yeah.
I'd have to say my colleagues in the Senate and my colleagues, Congressman Keating and Senator John Kenan.
Just one
role model.
Oh, role model.
One.
Congressman Keating.
Okay. I'm going to give you a chance to ask each other a lightning round question. Okay, Dave DeCoste, question for Rhonda Nyman. Two-sentence answer.
Rhonda, when you voted for the tech tax, which, if any, local technology executives did you talk to about that?
Thank you, David, for the question. Certainly, I do have to say that a lot of people, I think, were asleep at the switch when the governor first came out with his proposal when we were debating all those taxes. And I heard from very few people in the IT industry. And we didn't hear from a lot of people until after the bill had passed.
It's really lightning round. Okay, now, Rhonda, your question for Dave DeCoste, a lightning round question for Dave.
This is not our regular questions.
No, because we're running a little bit out of time.
Okay, so we're not going to be able to do that then. Is that
just a lightning round question for Dave?
Dave, if elected, would you still stay on the Board of Selectmen?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I asked about that, Democrats and Republicans, and they said it's been done, and it actually would probably make me a more effective selectman.
Okay, let's go to closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order that we started in, and when we started tonight, we started with Dave, and then we went to Rhonda, so we're going to flip it at the end now. No longer than 2 minutes, please. Let's start with Rhonda Nyman, then we're going to go with Dave DeCoste.
Well, thank you, Christine, and thank you again to WATD for hosting this forum, and David, for your participation. It has been an honor to serve the residents of Hanover, Norwell, and Rockland as your state representative. Like I said earlier tonight, I didn't set out in life to be a politician, but seeing from my late husband, Bobby, and now after 4 years of my own experience, how much a difference one can make, I am truly honored that you have given me that opportunity. Having someone at the State House who is not only willing to fight, but also be able to deliver in bringing back funding to our community is important. The amount of state funding we have been able to secure has allowed us to do important things on the local level. I am proud of the fact that overall local aid has increased over my time in office. I am proud that Chapter 70 monies dedicated to education funding and Chapter 90 transportation funding to each of our towns has increased as well. I am proud to have secured $500,000 in expedited legislative approval for a brand new senior center to Rockland. I am proud to have worked on state funding for new schools in both Hanover and Rockland. Proud to have secured funding for the completion of the Route 53 project in Hanover, and to have GATRA bus services to Hanover so that now seniors and disabled residents can have their own transportation service. As a single mother, I know how important every dollar is to people. That is why I am proud to have brought reform to our welfare program by requiring photos on all EBT cards to discourage fraud, which is now the law in Massachusetts. I have fought for small businesses by reducing their tax obligation to the unemployment insurance fund. and I am proud to have voted against automatically raising the gas tax every year. And I am very proud of every single constituent problem or issue we have been able to help with over the past 4 years. Among my proudest accomplishments has been my support and votes on the Valor Act and the Valor Act II, which together have put Massachusetts on top of any state in the country in the services and programs we offer for our military personnel, their families, and our veterans. And just recently passed the Substance Abuse Recovery Bill, an important first step we have taken to tackle substance abuse and make treatment more available. I am proud of these accomplishments because I am proud of our community. There is no place I would rather live, and there's nothing I would rather do than to continue to go to work every single day. I respectfully ask for your vote on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. That was Rhonda Nyman. Now, final statement from Dave DeCoste.
Now, Representative Nyman, Rhonda, thanks for the spirit of debate. Christine, Kevin, I'd like to thank you for and the management for sponsoring this forum. Tonight, I'm asking the voters of the 5th Plymouth District for your opportunity to be for the opportunity to be your representative. As someone who was brought up here and attended the school system, I bring with me a familiarity with the district that includes an appreciation and long-term commitment to its well-being. If elected, my focus will be to mitigate the damage done by 40B regulations, to work to reduce income and sales tax, to include stopping the automatic annual increase in gas taxes and eliminating others. I will oppose any effort by the legislature to repeal referendum votes of the people. I will work toward the actuarial soundness of our local and state pension systems to include limiting eligibility of elected officials for those pensions. Persons having short periods of public service should not qualify for lifelong pensions and health care at the public expense, and I will set the example regarding this policy. In addition, I will aggressively identify and recruit talented individuals into government where their talents can be brought to bear to find solutions to our program problems. I hope all of you will favorably consider my candidacy. If elected, I will guarantee to be a representative who is able to put in the necessary time and effort to resolve complex problems facing the Commonwealth, who will operate free from any business constraints or conflicts of interest, who will not treat the position as an opportunity for personal enrichment of any kind, and who will be on the good, whose focus will be on the good of the Commonwealth and public interest, not self-interest. If that type of person is who you'd like in office, I hope you'll vote for me on Tuesday, November 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was David DeCoste, and that was the final statement. Again, this is the candidates for the 5th Plymouth District here. You'll be able to hear this forum in its entirety up on our website tomorrow, 95.9WATD.com, and selected cuts during our morning drive news block. Going to take a quick break now and come back, and going to have round number two, and that's going to be the candidates in the 10th Plymouth District. I'm Christine James. We'll be back right after this.